Monday, 11th week, Ordinary Time 2. Readings 1. The First Book of Kings, Chapter 21, Verses 1 through 16. Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard in Jezreel, next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard to be my vegetable garden, since it is close by, next to my house. I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I will give you its value in money." Naboth answered him, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral heritage." Ahab went home disturbed and angry at the answer. Naboth the Jezreelite "I will not give you my ancestral heritage." Lying down on his bed, he turned away from the food and would not eat. His wife, Jezebel, came to him and said to him, "Why are you so angry that you will not eat?" He answered her, "Because I spoke to Naboth the Jezreelite and said to him, 'Sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you a vineyard in exchange.' But he refused to let me have his vineyard." His wife Jezebel said to him, "A fine ruler over Israel you are indeed. Get up, eat, and be cheerful. I will obtain the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite for you." So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and having sealed them with his seal, sent them to the elders and to the nobles who lived in the same city with Naboth. This is what she wrote in the letters: "Proclaim a fast and let Naboth at the head of his people. Next, get two scoundrels to face him and accuse him of having cursed God and king. Then take him out and stone him to death. His fellow citizens, the elders and nobles who dwelt in the city, did as Jezebel had ordered them in writing through the letters she had sent them. They proclaimed a fast and placed Naboth at the head of the people. Two scoundrels came in and confronted him with the accusation, 'Naboth has cursed God and his and king.' And they led him out of the city and stoned him to death. Then they sent the information to Jezebel that Naboth had been stoned to death. When Jezebel learned that Naboth had been stoned to death, she said to Ahab, 'Go on, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite that he refused to sell you, because Naboth is not alive, but dead.' On hearing that Naboth was dead, Ahab started off on his way down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it." Gospel, Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 42. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, make no resistance to one who is evil. But when someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back to one who wants to borrow." Theme: a Christian is ready to suffer loss in Christ's name. Resisting enemy by reviling, revenging, or getting. Resisting an enemy by reviling, showing revenge, or getting even isn't a good resolution for a Christian. But there are many Christians who used these ways to protect justice. Today's readings help us to understand why God teaches us to behave in a way which is different with the worldly or the Gentiles' way. In the first reading, the author of the first book of Kings reported an unjust case. King Ahab wanted to have Naboth's vineyard to expand his property. He agreed with Jezebel's wicked plan, his wife's wicked plan, to steal it. According to this plan, they found two scoundrels who accused Naboth of blasphemy against God and the king, so that Naboth was stoned to death, and after that, his vineyard would belong to the king. In the gospel, Jesus taught his disciples to treat their enemies in a different way than the ancient way. They should not fight against the wicked, nor show revenge, nor prosecute, but generously forgive and give out more than what others expect. Analysis. I will not give you my ancestral heritage. King Ahab wanted to expand his royal property. He said to Naboth, "Give me your vineyard to be my vegetable garden, since it is close by next to my house. I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or, if you prefer, I will give you its value in money." Naboth answered him, "The Lord forbid that I should give you my ancestral heritage." Exchanging or selling ancestral heritage was considered as wiping out one's ancestral names in the nation, a descendant's shame. Naboth used the name of the Lord to remind King Ahab this so that he wouldn't force him to do that. King Ahab knew that the law prohibits the capturing of the neighbor's ancestral property, even though the king has no right to this. That is the reason why Ahab negotiated with Naboth to buy, but Naboth didn't give in. The wife came home and was angry. The king came home and was angry with Naboth. Jezebel's wicked plan to usurp the vineyard. Queen Jezebel was the daughter of a Sidonian king. She worshipped Baal. Therefore, she paid no regard for the law as King Ahab did. She was dishonest and greedy. She devised a plan to steal Naboth's vineyard. So she said to Ahab, "A fine ruler over Israel you are indeed. Get up, eat, and be cheerful. I will obtain the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite for you." King Ahab knew what his wife was going to do, but he didn't stop her because he wanted to have Naboth's vineyard. He might have thought he wasn't guilty before God and people because he wasn't the one who came up with the plan. But Jezebel wrote the letter in his name, used his seal on the letter, and sent it to all the elders and nobles who lived in the same city with Naboth. This is what she wrote in the letters: "Proclaim a fast and set Naboth at the head of the people. Next, get two scoundrels to face him and accuse him of having cursed God and the king. Then take him out and stone him to death." In order to have a religious character, Jezebel wanted the elders and the nobles to proclaim a fast to deceive people. A fast is used to express people's repentance for their sins against God. The local leaders might have known her wicked plan, but did not oppose the king's decree. They knew if they didn't do it, they shall pay a hefty price. They found two scoundrels to accuse Naboth of blasphemy against God and the king. Scoundrels aren't hard to find in any generation. These are people who have no shame in committing sins. They do anything for material gains. When King Ahab knew of Naboth's death, when King Ahab learned of Naboth's death, he came down and took possession of his vineyard. Gospel: give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. Don't oppose the wicked. Jesus taught his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. The law, 'an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,' belongs to the Talionis law. This is the most ancient law of the world, also found in Hammurabi's law, about 2250 BC. This law can also be found in the Old Testament at least three times. Some important things about this law need to be addressed. It prevents escalating revenge. If two parties keep increasing their revenge, death certainly happens not only for individuals, but also for families and tribes. It is done by the judges, not by the individuals or family members. It isn't understood literally. It doesn't mean that if a victim loses his eye, the one who caused it must also lose an eye, but it shall be calculated in the amount of money which the actor must pay the victim. It isn't the only principle of the ancient Testament law. Besides, there are still many laws which mention love and forgiveness. What Jesus wanted to teach his disciples is that they can't take revenge under any form. First, there is a very wise teaching that prevents the loss of life. The Vietnamese adage also advises people that to let material possessions take the place of human life. Second, revenge only increases hatred, but forgiveness shall stop hatred and has the potential to change an enemy to one's friend. Last, Jesus' disciples must believe in that God is still in control of this world. He shall not let the wicked govern this world and the righteous to greatly suffer. However, trials and sufferings are needed to test people's faith and to practice virtues. Jesus also prohibited even prosecution when he taught. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand him your cloak as well. As discussed above, prosecution in civil court requires one to pay lots of money for lawyers, to spend much time and effort, and there isn't a guarantee of a fair trial. Next, material gains aren't the ultimate purpose of life for Christians. If someone needs them more than us, let them have them. Finally, the Christians believe that God is a benevolent Father. He shall not let his children die of hunger or cold. Jesus' disciple must be ready to help others. Jesus continued to teach his disciples, "Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go with him for 2 miles." This saying means that Jesus' disciples don't stop at the fulfillment of their duty, but also do more than what they should. Christians must not value material gains more than human dignity. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. Application in life. We must live in a way which is different with others so that we can recognize our charity and perfection and believe in our God. We shouldn't hang on to material things too much. Use them as temporal and passing things, and don't deny others when they need it.